What if I told you that in prehistoric times, creating just 1 hour of artificial light required 58 hours of backbreaking labor gathering timber? Today, you earn that same illumination in less than a second of work, a 300,000-fold improvement that captures the essence of economics itself. This isn't just about light. It's about how humanity transformed from barely surviving to thriving beyond our ancestors' wildest dreams. Economics isn't the dismal science we've been told it is. That label actually came from Thomas Carlyle attacking economists who believed in human equality, not their methods. What follows is the story of how economic forces shaped everything from why your ancestors switched from hunting to farming to why your morning coffee connects you to farmers across three continents. Life for our prehistoric ancestors was genuinely horrifying. Imagine a world where 40% of children died before reaching adulthood, where life expectancy barely touched 33 years, and where 1 in 7 people died violently. Archaeological digs reveal both compassion and cruelty. Some communities carved walking canes and pre-chewed food for toothless elders, while others simply abandoned those who couldn't keep pace during migrations. Around 10,000 years ago, agriculture revolutionized human society. The plow made farming 5-6 times more productive than foraging, enabling food surpluses and specialized skills. But farming's physical demands transformed egalitarian hunter-gatherer societies into male-dominated agricultural communities almost overnight. Geography dealt an unequal hand. Eurasia's east-west orientation allowed crops and techniques to spread easily across similar climates, while Africa and the Americas' north-south layout created barriers. A corn plant from Mexico took millennia to adapt northward. Eurasia also possessed 13 of the 14 major domesticable mammals, giving it an enormous advantage. Water transport proved transformative, costing 20 times less than overland hauling, explaining why coastal cities thrived while inland regions stagnated. China's Grand Canal, stretching 1,600 kilometers, sparked interprovincial trade that made Chinese living standards in 1000 CE, $3.36, higher than England's, $3.15. Venice pioneered the colleganza, a medieval crowdfunding system where investors financed traders' voyages for profit shares, creating unprecedented social mobility until established families closed ranks, triggering Venice's decline. Social status proved remarkably sticky. Economist Gregory Clark found Samuel Pepys's descendants attended Oxford and Cambridge at 20 times the general rate, with similar patterns across Japan, China, Chile, and Sweden. Yet innovations spread rapidly. Reading glasses reached Italy, 1290, maize arrived in China, 1300s, and Gutenberg's printing press, 1440, produced more books in 50 years than the previous millennium. Ideas are non-rivalrous. Sharing them doesn't diminish their value, which encouraged spread but reduced invention incentives, prompting Venice to create the world's first patent law in 1474. The Medici family established Europe's largest bank in 1397, pioneered double-entry bookkeeping, and funded Renaissance masters like Botticelli, Da Vinci, and Michelangelo, demonstrating how economic power translates into cultural influence. Europe's maritime advances, three-masted ships, compasses, astrolabes, enabled global exploration driven by economic interests. Columbus reached the Americas in 1492, Da Gama sailed to India in 1498, and Magellan attempted circumnavigation in 1519. The Columbian Exchange brought corn and potatoes to Europe while sending sugar and livestock to the Americas. But European diseases decimated indigenous populations. Far worse was the Atlantic slave trade, trafficking over 12 million people between 1501 to 1866. During the 1700s, Europeans transported roughly 10% of Africa's population across the Atlantic, with over one-tenth dying during passage. Slave labor powered plantations, generating approximately 5% of British national income by the late 1700s. This era also witnessed history's first documented bubble, Dutch tulip mania. When tulips arrived from the Ottoman Empire, their vivid colors captivated Europeans. A single Semper Augustus bulb reached 2,000 guilders, roughly $16,000 today, in 1625, before prices crashed in 1637, though the collapse proved less dramatic than legend suggests. Before the Industrial Revolution, economic growth crawled. Japan's daily income rose just 10 cents between 1000 and 1700 CE. Then everything exploded. Life expectancy doubled, real incomes increased 14-fold, and average heights grew 10 centimeters. England's productive agriculture freed workers for urban industries, while innovations like the spinning jenny and steam engine harnessed coal power. Modern economics emerged when Adam Smith published The Wealth of Nations in 1776, one day after James Watt's first profitable steam engine entered the market. Smith opened with a pin factory where specialization boosted productivity from one pin per person daily to 4,800. He famously wrote, "It is not from the benevolence of the butcher, the brewer, or the baker that we expect our dinner, but from their regard to their own interest." Yet he warned that when business people meet, the conversation ends in a conspiracy against the public. Political revolutions followed: the American Declaration of Independence, 1776, and French Revolution, 1789, championing individual liberty. By century's turn, Alfred Marshall's 1890 textbook introduced the supply and demand diagram, the Marshallian cross, showing where markets reach equilibrium. After J.P. Morgan averted the 1907 banking crisis, major U.S. bankers secretly met on Jekyll Island in 1910, disguised as duck hunters, to design what became the Federal Reserve System in 1913. Meanwhile, Ford executive Peter Martin revolutionized automobile production after visiting Chicago slaughterhouses, proposing moving cars toward parts rather than vice versa. This assembly line innovation dramatically increased speed, leading Henry Ford to standardize on black paint because it dried fastest. Retail transformed when Harry Selfridge opened his revolutionary London department store in 1909, making shopping entertaining by letting customers handle merchandise and coining "the customer is always right." Frank Woolworth pioneered five-and-dime stores with pile-em high and sell-em cheap, using scale to negotiate lower prices, a strategy Walmart and Aldi continue today. The 1929 crash triggered the Great Depression, with stocks losing 89% by 1932. Days before, Yale economist Irving Fisher declared stocks had reached a permanently high plateau, a catastrophic misjudgment. U.S. unemployment hit 25%, sparking debate between John Maynard Keynes, who advocated government intervention, and Friedrich von Hayek, who viewed downturns as necessary corrections. World War II's outcome was predictable. The Allied powers possessed twice the population, seven times more territory, and 40% higher income than the Axis. Post-war peace proved durable because nations learned from interwar mistakes. The Marshall Plan provided $13 billion to rebuild Western Europe, while Bretton Woods created the World Bank, IMF, and new monetary system. Post-war decades saw remarkable prosperity across Europe. Home ownership in Britain rose from 23% to 58%, women entered the workforce in unprecedented numbers, and rising education reduced inequality. The late 1970s marked a turning point when 18 Chinese villagers secretly divided collective land into private plots, dramatically increasing output. This experiment became China's reform model, lifting over 800 million from extreme poverty since 1978. Today's challenges include persistent gender inequality, with women earning 20% less globally. COVID-19 triggered the worst downturn since the Great Depression. Global income fell 5% in Q2 2020, with 400 million jobs lost. Yet workers now earn more daily than their 1900 counterparts earned weekly. Living standards have improved dramatically, smallpox eliminated, murder rates plummeting 50% since 1990, attitudes becoming more progressive. As we face climate change and technological disruption, economics offers powerful tools for creating sustainable, widely shared prosperity.